Let's take our Bibles today and turn to the book of 2 Kings, or open your bulletin. If you need a bulletin, raise your hand up. Brother Rick will grab one because I'm going to use the outline that's in the bulletin today for our message to the senior citizens, grandparents that are here, and really there's a lot of this that applies to all ages. And I hope maybe someday you will tell a senior citizen about this sermon. It's going to be very practical and helpful. Wave your hand around. If you didn't get a bulletin, you've got to have one for this sermon right now if you don't have one. All right, I'll be going through those 7 points that are in your bulletin this morning on the inside right at the top. I want to speak on the subject of set thine house in order. Set thine house in order. For those that are senior citizens, grandparents, and younger people, as I will bring that out as we go through some things. Very practical sermon today, and yet it has to do with all of us. It tells us in 2 Kings 20 and verse 1, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Boy, what a message. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Now, this was a very, very righteous, Holy Spirit-filled prophet talking to a very righteous, Holy Spirit-filled king. These were not bad people. This was a very good man telling a very good man, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And so let us take this to our hearts today, that it is for everybody, even people like Hezekiah and people like you and I. Order is something that brings peace. Anytime you put anything in order, peace will accompany it. If you take your sock drawer at home and put your socks in order, you'll have more peace in the morning when you're trying to get dressed. If you'll put all your shirts in order and all your pants in order, you'll have more peace in the morning when you try to get dressed. If you get your finances in order, it will bring you peace. If you get your marriage in biblical order, it will bring peace to your marriage. If you raise your children according to biblical order, it will bring peace to your home. If the church is run by the order God gives it to be run by, according to the scriptures, it will bring peace to your church. And if you get your financial life matters in order, it will bring so much peace. Now, I am going to bring this message to you from a lot of experience. I do not know everything. But I know some things, and I have done more funerals than anybody here in this room. I have done about 250 funerals around there. And as a result, you learn a lot of things from funerals. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, and verse number 2, Solomon says, it is better to go to the house of mourning, M-O-U-R-N, mourning as to mourn or grieve, than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to heart. You'll learn more in a funeral home than you'll ever learn in the tents and the dens of iniquity partying in the houses of mirth. Verse 4 says, the heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, But the heart of fools is in the house of mirth or partying. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning. You learn so much at a funeral home of what is important by the things that people say about the deceased loved ones. But one of the things also that I have learned in funeral homes that I want to bring a message to you about today is to set your house in order. I have seen homes just absolutely ripped apart by funerals where the deceased made absolutely no plans for their finances, no plans for their assets. And boy, do people change when money starts floating around. And people who I thought were really Christians become extremely ugly when there is no will and there is no order, and the deceased did not take 20 minutes out of their life to go see a lawyer that could have wrote up a will that could have brought peace to their family. But boy, do wars start. And boy, have I seen some people who should have been remembered by the deceased, who were ignored by the deceased, who then fought bitterness the rest of their life, how the deceased could have helped them, but didn't, because they did not put their affairs in order. In Proverbs 13 and verse number 22, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. Now, I've been through a lot of things by what I've seen in funeral homes and the devastation and the fighting and the wars and the bitterness and the anger because people did not think with prudence, as the scripture says we should guide our affair with prudence and forethought and think about these things, but rather went through life with presumption, thinking somehow in their pride that they were invincible and that death happens to everybody else except them. But Isaiah, by the Spirit of God, says to Hezekiah, a good man, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Boy, is that good preaching from Isaiah. That is good preaching. I'll tell you what, I'll get to this in a minute. But let me give you seven things here that I really believe you've got to do, and the sooner the better, and especially you've got to do these things while you have a sound mind. While you have a sound mind. These are things that I've done already. These are things Leslie, my wife, has done. We're all set. We're all set for something. If something happens to us, that when our deaths occur and our burials occur, it's going to be very, very easy on our children. It will cause no divisions among them, but rather peace and appreciation. And our grandchildren, we only have two, but that's all set. I would be the biggest fool in this room to see the things I've seen at funerals and then not take care of it myself. But I'm going to give you some wisdom today, all right, of things that you need to do. And don't wait to presumption. Don't wait till your senior years to do these things. Some of you have little children right now. If you died a simultaneous death, who would they go to? Who would they go to? And once in a while, some people die a simultaneous death. I had a couple of friends of mine that I used to go to church with. Died in a head-on car crash. Both of them, same moment. Who would your children go to? These are things we need to think about. Number one, as you see here in your bulletin, do you have a will? And does it need to be updated? Do you have a will, and does it need to be updated? We want to encourage you to have a will. Now, I know that you can get forms off the internet and fill them out and take them to a notary and everything. That I guess that works. I'm just not that savvy with social media, and so we went to a lawyer and paid the couple $100 and got our wills. Now, we've had wills since we've been married, but we had them updated recently, had them updated, and it doesn't take long, and it's very, very easy. The forms are very, very easy, and I like to go to the lawyer because then they would file it with down the city of Buffalo. He's got a file in his own office, and we've got one in our file, and the kids can have one, and so it's not going to be hard to find when the time comes where the wills need to be read. Is your will updated? Things change sometimes in life. My brother David, we went through some stuff as a family this year with my dad dying, and he had all of his ducks in a row. Everything was in order. It was just so amazing how peaceful that was in that aspect, not losing our dad, but all of these things that were in order. And so Dave wanted to get his will. He had a will, and it was like he showed it to me, and it was on a couple typewritten pieces of paper, and it looked kind of just didn't look very professional, and it was like from over 40 years ago. And I said, well, let me take you to my attorney, John Grinnell. He's a great guy and does a great job. And I said, I'll set up an appointment. I'll go with you, and we'll sit down with him, and we'll go over all these things that I'm going to mention with him. And I said, bring that will, and he can take that and work off of it and update it. And we got in there, and he was looking over it, and he says, well, what's wrong with this will? He says, this is complete. This is exactly what you want. It's still good. It's still in effect. He says, why pay me hundreds of dollars when this is just fine? And so he saved a couple $100. But that means, see, Dave back in his 20s and me and Leslie back in our 20s, we wrote up a will. We wrote up a will, especially because we were starting to have kids. And his will was still good 40 years later. Do you have a will? Have you had it updated? Because if you don't, then all of your assets and possessions and bank accounts will go into the state of New York and end up in probate court, and who knows whether you will get it or not. Who knows who will get it? And boy, could I tell some stories right there of people who had their hearts set on something. The Bible says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. And some people who had their hopes and thought their dad would remember them, thought their mom would remember them, thought it would just maybe help them out a little bit. And it went to someone else. And boy, does that hurt. Boy, does that hurt. And I tell you like it or not, money is something that's very dear to people's hearts. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so you need to have a will, and you need to designate in your will to your children or grandchildren, or maybe you feel they're not worthy of it, then something else. I've known people who have remembered the Lord's work. They remembered missionaries and eternal things. And one of the great privileges we had was my wife was involved in my dad's finances. And when he passed, to be able to write out all those checks to missionaries and churches that he desired in his will that they be supported. And to write a check to the Calvary Heights Baptist Church. And to write a check to the Faith Bible Baptist Church. And to write a check to the West Falls Bible Church where we got saved. And then to write a check to every single one of his grandchildren of a prominent amount. What do you think they think about Grandpa? Yeah. A righteous man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. You see, my dad lived by the word, and I hope you will too. I remember, and I don't have this story, know all the details, but I was told one time that a dear lady died, and she really didn't have much of a family or anything, so she left her belongings in a trust fund to the West Falls Bible Church, where they were allowed to draw so much off of the trust fund every year, and I believe she helped keep the church open for 40 years. Long enough for me to walk in as a lost sinner one day and to walk out saved. Amen. Do you have a will? Is it updated? Number two, do you have a health care proxy? Do you have a health care proxy? Do you have somebody who you have designated? Yeah, legally. You can't just say these things. It's got to be on paper. To make health care decisions for you based on your desires before that time comes in your life or that event where you no longer are physically or mentally able to do so. That happens. People get dementia. And those in the medical field have certain legal obligations to try to do everything they can to keep you alive. And sometimes it's by artificial means. But if you have a healthcare proxy and you have shared your desires, my wife and I have healthcare proxy. She's mine. I'm hers. If she passes or I pass and there's one left, then Stephen is our healthcare proxy. And he knows our desires, that we have no desire to be kept alive by artificial means, by ventilators or anything like that. We're saved. We're going to heaven. Let us go. Let us go. Okay, he knows our desires. And we filled it all out on a sheet, and we've checked off all the boxes of things we don't want them to do for us. Just let us go. I don't know if you're saved or not, but I sure am. By the grace of God, not by anything I did, but you have got to designate something, because there may come a time. I've seen people mentally traumatized in car wrecks who could no longer express their health desires. And you need to have a health care proxy. You never know when something might happen. Number three, a power of attorney. A power of attorney needs to be designated for your estate and finances. Likewise, if you become disabled, that person can pay your bills, stay up on your correspondence. They can legally sign your checks and help disseminate your belongings according to your wishes. And I remember going through my dad's, and how my dad had a real beautiful car with only 12,000 miles on it, and he wanted to give that away, and so that got into the hands of my brother George. And we were so happy that the power of attorney was able to go to the DMV on behalf of my dad and make that transaction so my brother George could get a car with 12,000 miles on it, because the car he was driving around in the ministry had over 300,000 miles on it. That made us so happy. But you've got to have a power of attorney who can do these things and be the executor of your will, so that when you die, he can take the will and say, this is what they said they wanted to do. This much goes to this person, this much goes to this person, this much goes to this person, and you make sure those wishes are carried out. You've got to designate a power of attorney. Man, you don't want New York State doing that or probate doing that. No. I've seen that. That's not good. That's not good. I mean, they try. There's well-meaning people in those, that capacity, that try. But sometimes I've seen, especially those who are single people, man, I've seen New York State take everything. Because they didn't have a will. They could have gone and seen a lawyer once in their life, but they couldn't find 20 minutes or $100 or $200 to sit down with a lawyer and say, I want my house and property given to so on and so forth. So New York State took it, had a big estate sale, sold the property, went into the coffers of the state. Somebody could have been blessed by that. Somebody could have been blessed by that. Number four, prepaid funeral plans. Any one of you can go to a funeral director around here anytime, choose the one you like, and say, I'd like to begin to invest in a prepaid funeral plan. I don't care if you're 18. And give them $100 and give them $100 and give them, and just keep building that up. My wife and I, our funerals are paid for already with Addison Funeral Home over here in Angola. The whole thing's paid in full. The showing, the renting of the funeral home, the casket, the plot, the burial fees, and so on. My children, have you ever seen families go in that have absolutely no plans for a funeral? And somebody dies suddenly, and they have to pay for it? And they haven't got enough money. You know, there's so many cremations nowadays. You know why? Because they're cheap. They're cheap, but they're not biblical. They're actually a heathen practice. The Bible teaches burial from cover to cover. Now, I know some of you had loved ones cremated, and some of our relatives have been too, but that's not scriptural. Scriptural. You need to have a prepared funeral plan. And the funeral house, funeral home, has accounts where your money is kept and earns interest every year. And they are not allowed by any law to touch that money. It's just there until the day you die. My dad had his funeral paid for over 30 years ago. Because you don't expect to live to be 91. And so when the time came and we said to the funeral director, what else do we owe you? They said, you don't owe us anything. It's paid in full. Paid in full. There's only one thing we got to pay for, and that is to get the 2013 etched onto the monument stone on his grave. That's it. That's it. He even had his monument up there like 10 years before they died on the gravesite. With their names, birth date, dash, and then the rest has got to be chiseled in. We have to pay for that a little bit. Order will bring peace. It'll bring a lot of peace to your family. And boy, people will go on loving you and appreciating you so much, your children. Boy, if you just help them out a little, it's a tough world, and it's getting tougher. But make your wishes known. Make your wishes known with your pastor. And listen, I want to encourage everybody to do this. This is probably the most important thing. Have a memorial service. Have a memorial service. You don't have to have visitation. You don't have to have an open casket or anything. Let them bury you or whatever you want to do. But have a memorial service, every one of you without exception. And tell the pastor, I want the gospel preached at my memorial service. And give somebody that you'd be surprised who will show up at your memorial service. The average is about 50 people. About 50 people. I've preached the gospel to about 12,000 people in 250 funerals. About 50 people, that's about average. It shows up. And you tell your pastor, I'm still an ordained pastor, and there's others. Pastor Seth's done funerals. I think some people, even like Brother Doug, has done funerals and a few times, and Frank, and whatever. But have somebody share the gospel. Have somebody share the gospel. Don't be selfish about that. You know, when we had my dad's memorial service, we sang the songs he wanted to sing, us to sing. And we honored him, and he said, Art, whatever you do, somebody share the gospel. And we had almost 60 of my family there, Coles, Cowles, nieces, nephews, aunts, uncles, who were there. who heard the gospel, and we know of three of them who accepted the Lord as their Savior. When you die, you say, I want a memorial service. My dad was buried like 2 days later, but he had a memorial service. We had it 6 months later. We waited till nice weather and everything. He said, I don't care when you have it. And boy, a lot of people showed up. A lot of people showed up. Prepaid funeral plans with the funeral home and with the church, with the pastor. And I've told my wife already, I said, when I die, I want there to be a memorial service, and I want someone to stand up and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ at the beginning, before you say anything about me. You tell everybody about Christ. Stick me at the end. But I want those people to know Art Cole knew the Lord, loved the Lord, and this is what he died believing. And share that with them. Share it with them. Number five, life insurance. Life insurance. Now, maybe some of you don't need life insurance because you're loaded. Then it's pretty much a waste of money. But even you young ones can get a small term life insurance policy. $20,000. I don't know what they make of $20,000, $50,000, whatever. You can get one cheap. And you can pay into it, and you can secure a low rate to your 70s if you buy it early enough. And you can say to the beneficiary of your insurance policy, I want this to be used for my burial costs, and the rest you can keep or whatever, and have a nice funeral that honors the Lord Jesus Christ. These funerals aren't honoring the Lord anymore. Not much. Not much. Boy, they used to be big events, man. Funerals, used to think, boy, somebody from royalty died. Look at the police going down the road and the big train of people and the hearse and there's the pastor's car and you're just going down as people are pulling over. And so much respect in the past for the dead. And we need to get a revival of that and show somebody, yeah, hey, somebody did important just died, a child of God. And have a big funeral. But you may need some money, and don't put that on your family, okay? Your mom might be broke, okay? Your dad might be broke or whatever. Just take that respect out of respect yourself and just say, hey, mom, dad, I've got this insurance policy. You're the beneficiaries. If I die, I want you to use this. I don't want to be a burden on you. I want this to be used to bury me. Number six is something that is very important, and I'm almost done here, but number six says, do you have a quitclaim or life use deed on your house? My house is not in my name. It's not in my wife's name. It's in my son's name, it's in Rebecca's name, and it's in Rachel's name. Why? Because I've learned something. I've learned that if you go into a nursing home and you don't have your assets designated to somebody else in your family, they'll take every penny of it. They'll take every penny of it. And I learned that from the girls. They're in the nursery today, my wife and her sister. They didn't know that. Roy and Janet didn't know that. And he ended up in the nursing home, and they took every dime. Now, maybe you have $180,000 a year where you can pay for your own nursery care. Maybe you do. But if you don't have $180,000 average to pay for 1 year of nursery home care, then you might want to try to protect your assets. And one way to do that is by a quitclaim life use deed on your house. Now, I learned this from Al Shatner. He asked me if I had one before, and I said, well, what is that? I don't even know what you're talking about. He says, yeah, when you die, or he says, If you don't have this quit claim, life use policy, deed on your house, then for the next 5 years, the nursing home can take it if you end up in a nursing home. Now, maybe you got one of those families where they can take care of you to your last breath. That's wonderful when you see that. God bless those caretakers. Man, they are amazing people. Caretakers. But this quit claim is something that Al taught me about, and so I got it on my house. It's a little expensive. You got to get your new survey, search done, and your deed and exchequer's got to be transferred over to them. It costs over $1,000. But what it does is the house now it belongs is in the name of Rebecca, Stephen, and Rachel, my children. But at the bottom of it, it says, grantor reserves life use of premises. They cannot throw me out of my house till I take my last breath. And they can't sell it out from under me. In fact, I can sell it out from under them. It's an amazing thing, really. And Al Shatner, now, my problem is I just got this year. I just never thought about it. And so I got to live not 5 more years at least before I go in a funeral or a nursery home, I hope. And my wife's got to live 5 more years. But if you did this earlier, and Al did this really early in life, and he lived to be 92, big Al Shatner. And as soon as he died, Beth and Al, his children, got the house. It's all theirs, 100%. No cost. Very orderly. Very peaceful. But he got to live in it till his last... Well, I think he spent a couple weeks in hospice or something. I forgot exactly, but he got to live in it till then. Folks, there are some things that... Boy, you don't want to procrastinate on these things. And those of you that are young, maybe want to start on some of these things early. Early. I remember my dad as a teenager sitting me down and saying, son, I got an insurance agent coming over tonight to talk to you. I need you to stay home. I said, for what? I'm going to live forever? How stupid is that? Then I go in the Army and they say, you've got to buy this insurance right here. I said, for what? You know, these are wise people, that's why. They're wise people. That little list right there, maybe you can get some other seniors to get that list or listen to this sermon or anything, but the most important thing is number 7. All right, that's the most important thing. Are you saved? I mean, these other things are good And, you know, I hope it's going to make my children feel happy. I hope it's going to make my grandchildren. I believe I'm following the Bible when it says a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. And we'll hope to help out the Lord's work some, too, and the missionaries. And hopefully the state won't get a dime. Oh, they got enough from me these years. But why don't you get on it? Don't procrastinate. Don't be presumptuous like, well, you know, I'm healthy. And yeah, we've had a couple people in our church here recently who are having some major health problems this morning that we didn't think would happen a couple of months ago. And we're praying for their best. We're praying to God for their healing, and that's what we should do. But these things, you know, kind of sober us up a little bit. And you say, what? What? She's got what? What happened to him? He's just here. And we wish him well. We're praying for them. We're praying for their immediate family because the immediate family always bears this burden with them. We're praying for the extended family too. And I try to name them by name each day before the throne of God. Pray for Joan, pray for David, pray for Joe, pray for their siblings. They're all barrenness. And our day's coming. And while you got a sound mind and a couple $100 in your pocket or something, find a lawyer. Go see mine. Tell him I sent you. He's a good guy. His dear secretary is a born-again believer. Have wonderful fellowship with her. But are you saved? Are you sure? Are you absolutely sure? I was talking to a senior citizen this week, and she said, "Boy, I hope I've earned enough points." I said, "That's not the way." She said, "I keep doing this, and I hope I'm earning enough points." That's not the way. The way to heaven is through Jesus Christ, the Lord. Not through how many points you earn, doing this, that, or the other. I felt so bad for her. I tried to explain, I couldn't get through to her. It's not the way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Are you saved and are you sure? Have you believed the gospel that Christ died for your sins and he was buried and he rose again according to the scriptures? That saves you, it says, unless we believe in vain, unless it's just empty fluff and words. If you really believe from your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. It's not through your righteousness, but through his. Our sins have separated us from God. We need a Savior. Jesus died on that cross for our sins. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for Seniors Day. We thank you, Lord, for Grandparents Day. We thank you, Lord, for Isaiah's words to Hezekiah, a very, very, very good man, a righteous man, Hezekiah. And yet he had the boldness to say, "Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." And I want to pray that for the peace of every home in our church, that we would prepare for end time things. Because if we're not ready to die, we're not ready to live. We need to be saved, but then also have our house in order. I can just see, Lord, how much peace my wife has, my family, that everything's all down and writing, know what to do. But Lord, I've seen the other. I've seen wars, divisions, bitter feelings, unforgiveness. Oh, it can get so ugly. And so help us now to follow the word of God, being doers of the word and not hearers only. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.